Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're not a coffee drinker, I don't know what's wrong with you or how you do it, actually. There never seems to be enough coffee. Mine is always empty far too soon here on the show, especially coming out of a football weekend, and that we are. We have now survived week 10 in the NFL, week 11 in college football, and it kind of freaks me out when we look at the schedule, and in 3 weeks, we're talking about games in December. I don't know how we got here. That's crazy. I do know that week 10 that wrapped up in SoFi Stadium in LA featured a ton of celebrities. Did you see everybody was on hand? World Series champion Mookie Betts, also LeBron James, and Aaron Donald with his family on hand trying to exhort the Rams to extend their win streak. The defense played fairly well. It was the offense that sputtered. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We've got the poll up for your TD of the week on this Touchdown Tuesday. You can find it at Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page. It is now posted, and there are some great candidates. Not only some acrobatic feats of strength and some beast mode moves, but also an emotional moment for a player who survived a gunshot in the summertime and is now back on the football field. We've got the latest on the Bears quarterback situation coming up this hour, as well as a little snippet from my conversation with Miami Herald columnist about why there is hope for the Miami Dolphins. Now, at 3-6, where is the hope? We'll get to that coming up momentarily. For those of you who are veterans who reached out to me on Monday on either Twix or Facebook, I am grateful. Thank you for letting me know that you're a veteran so I could extend my appreciation. Heard from some of you about the epidemic that is suicide among veterans. Some of you who are battling your own challenges and mental health when it comes to finding hope and believing that there is a reason to keep going. And I'm so thankful that I've heard from you, which means that right now you're winning that war. We need to do a better job of taking care of our veterans. And so I did want to reach out, just say thank you again, because it's cool to be able to know that many of you listen to the show, whether you're home and you're done serving. Some of you who are in between your deployments or and your assignments, you'll let me know that you listen to the show. Or it's an honor. It's a privilege. We're so happy to be a piece of home for you when you are serving and you're away from your family. So thanks again. I did share a photo. One of my favorite American flag photos that I've ever taken happened to be in Pearl Harbor in May. And to see it in person, to be there, what they call a burial ground, right? It's not a place that you visit. And I couldn't even take a selfie when I was there. My husband and I didn't feel right about that. It's cool to see it and all, but when you realize where you're standing and what happened at that site, it's somber, it's sobering. And there are a lot of people that are still there in those waters. It's incredible to think about the sacrifices and the service. And at every point in our nation's history, it's impossible to even consider where we would be without our military. We certainly wouldn't be free. And so many who've made the ultimate sacrifice, but those of you who have come home, who've returned to your families, as imperfect as it is, I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're with us. And I'm glad we have the chance to say thank you. So you can find me online at ALO Radio. It's good to connect with many of you. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. And we're wrapping week 10 in the NFL. Tua Tagovailoa's third game back after missing the weeks that he did with a concussion. And a new rookie target among the top wide receivers on that Dolphins roster.
Tua under center, tight end in motion. There's the snap. It's the end around. Coming to Washington 20. Got a block 15. Numbers 10. Near sideline 5. Pylon dive. Touchdown. Miami. Oh, what a statement. On the game opening drive, they go 70 yards.
Well, that's exactly what Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins wanted to see. Kevin Harlan, along with Ron Rivera on Monday night. So, let's see, Kurt Warner was in Germany for the Munich game, and we got to hear Coach Ron Rivera, and it was neat just to hear his insight. That very first drive. Now, the Rams and the Dolphins' offenses kind of hit the skids a little bit. There were, count them, not one, not two, not three, but four turnovers in the first half between these two teams. And it felt like a lot of that first half was one step forward, two steps back, because the teams couldn't find that momentum again.
First attempt from the 43. They marked it from the spot of the foul. Williams with the run to the left side. Fumbled
the football.
He got it. Dolphins pick it up. It's Kendall Fuller with it. Let's see if they marked him down. I think they did not.
Wow.
It looks like the Dolphins are going to have possession.
They definitely gave the ball back and forth like it was a hot potato. So really, the play after the Rams pick off Tua, well, then Kyren Williams fumbles. So that tends to stunt your growth. At that point, the Rams really can't afford to be wasting possessions. They're already in a double-figure hole. They're down 10-0 and are unable to find the end zone, not even with Cooper Kupp, not even with Puka Nacua, with Tutu Atwell, with Kyren Williams, with now a relatively healthy cast around Matthew Stafford. The Dolphins defense able to keep them from finding pay dirt. The Rams were 0-for-3 in the red zone. I don't think they converted a third down until late in the third quarter. Meanwhile, the Dolphins finding their stride and trying to work their top receivers back into the equation.
Tua takes a snap. Pulls it back out, throws it, touchdown. It's Tyreek Hill.
Well, the Tua fake, Jimmy, was fantastic. Looked like he handed the ball off only to pull it back, and Tyreek Hill was wide open, just sliding outside.
The call's on the Dolphins radio network. So, yes, Tua able to find Tyreek Hill for just the second time this year. How about that? Between Jalen Waddle, who had a sure touchdown pass, or a, I guess I should say potential. We don't know what would have happened, but a potential touchdown pass go right through his hands. And then Tyreek Hill, who catches the first one from Tua since the opening weekend of the season. Between the two of them, Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, they have just three touchdown passes. And yet you can tell the potential is there now that Tua is back in the flow.
Tyreek's a dog. Like, going from Mr. 2K last year, everybody talking about him, to, well, he hit 1,000 yards. Well, Jalen hit 1,000 yards. Like, Jalen, a dog too. Coming into this game, I mean, they could have easily said, like, dude, just continue to throw the ball, even if they're in a too high shell. But, I mean, those guys are in it, man. They're just in it to win it.
Neither team really able to run the ball. So, yeah, the passing game was there for Tua, though a lot of it was the dink and ducks, the shorter passing that was able to open up some lanes for Devon Achane. And so we got to see just kind of glimpses of it. They're still not in a flow. And, I mean, the Rams defense had something to do with that, too. Obviously, the turnovers as well. The rest of the game was five consecutive field goals. But the Dolphins are able to stunt any offensive rhythm from the Rams and end their three-game skid. So now they're sitting on 3-6. Why is there hope? Oh, we're going to try to answer that question coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Really, though, the having the two turnovers early and then seeing Tua get back into a rhythm where he can make a difference, that's big. He goes 20 of 28, just over 200 yards. And Mike McDaniel likes what he saw from Tua, even after those initial mistakes.
Tua gets so mad at himself and holds himself to a high standard, but he's also recognizing that he's, the franchise quarterback of this team. So you can't go too deep into your own self-lashing. You have to lead and you have to move on from things, good or bad.
Self-lashing. I've not heard that term. I've heard self-loathing, or self-deprecating, self-lashing. Mike McDaniel, he's unique. I can imagine that we get a lot of these things from him, even on a weekly basis. We don't even get to hear them all.
Yeah, exhilarating.
His press conferences?
Oh, please.
I think they're very halting. It seems as though, now, I'm one to talk because I go off on tangents all the time. In fact, I have a shirt. I initially bought it for my mom, and then I decided it fit me to a T. It's essentially the graph, the mathematical graph of a tangent. And it says, sometimes I go off on a, and then there's the graph underneath. I've actually shared a photo of it on social media. That's me. I have a spaghetti plate brain. Every thought is connected to another thought is connected to another thought. And you kind of pull a couple pieces of spaghetti off the plate and, you know, you get this whole mass of thoughts and spaghetti. So that's me. I totally get it. I feel like I have more flow than he does, though, because he speaks very haltingly. And I know some people think it's amusing. I think that his descriptions, when he actually sticks to something, but yeah, it's different. It's unique, that's for sure.
Annoying, as far as I'm concerned.
Pete has no patience for Mike McDaniel's press conferences.
Look, he can coach a great game, but he cannot do a press conference. I apologize. No.
Not everybody is a professional talker, Pete.
Well, all right, fine. But, you know,
Some guys are better at coaching.
Exactly. Stick to coaching, maybe have the assistant coach go up there and do it.
No, you can't, actually. That's against the rules. The NFL forces its head coaches to speak.
Yeah, thanks, NFL.
That's why they get paid the big bucks. Who else is not good at speaking? I'm not a huge fan of hearing Nick Sirianni. I'll just be honest. He sometimes goes on and on and on and on and on and doesn't say a whole lot.
I'm not a huge fan of Nick Sirianni, period.
Well, that makes sense. As a Giants fan, I get that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence and a disgruntled producer, Pete, who doesn't want to hear from Mike McDaniel anymore.
Or Nick Sirianni.
Good thing the Eagles weren't playing last night. How about we talk about Jalen Ramsey then, or let you hear from Jalen Ramsey, because they actually slowed down the Rams receiving core enough that they had very little production, and the defense as a whole was able to get four sacks of Stafford.
Yeah, we did a good job. I mean, it's truly a full defense thing. Like, we work with the pass rush. They, you know, we try to hold up so they can go get them sacks. They try to pressure the quarterback quick so we don't got to cover as long. It all worked together. It's really a full defensive thing. It's not just like, oh, the secondary just, it's all on them. Like, no, it's everybody.
Yeah, and Puka Nacua ends up with 9 catches on 14 targets. He has nearly 100 yards. Cooper Kupp, 7 for 80, but neither one able to get into the end zone. And a lot of the yardage that Matthew Stafford accumulated is between the 30s. They would make the worst mistakes, get a sack at the wrong time. Obviously, the turnovers hurt. But yeah, the defense of the Dolphins able to hold Sean McVay and his offense without any points. So the question was asked of him postgame, is this team sloppy?
Sloppy, yeah. I mean, there was some, you know, execution that has to be better. And I want to be able to go back and look at the tape. But these are things that we have to be able to clean up if we want to be the type of team, and especially from an offensive perspective. You know, we've got to be able to play better and you know, consistently execute better with 11 as one.
It's just negative plays at the wrong times, right? Whether it's a turnover or a sack or a, you know, inefficient play on first down, whatever it was, we shot ourselves in the foot a little bit in that kind of strike zone area, right? 30-yard line-ish area. And, you know, that was probably the difference in the game.
0 for 3 in the red zone, 3 for 12 on third down. And they had been surging. The Rams had been surging, but they ran into the Dolphins' brick wall at SoFi on Monday night. As for the Dolphins, why is there hope? I asked that question of Omar Kelly when he joined us from L.A. He's a columnist for the Miami Herald, was out there with the Dolphins.
Because they still got a chance at the playoffs. In fact, they've got a 60% chance at making the playoffs. There are only six teams in the AFC that have winning records, and Miami is right in the mix when it comes to that final wild card spot. They haven't played their best football, and in fact, I would say the victory they just pulled off against the Rams was their best game, but it still wasn't a game where they played their best football because they didn't have an effective rushing attack, and they've had that pretty much for the majority of the season.
Does the hope that you express also get reflected inside the locker room now that they've ended their losing skid?
Oh, absolutely. They're the ones that make me believe because they're so adamant and confident that they can turn this thing around. And it starts from the leadership, the guys like Calais Campbell, the guys like Jalen Ramsey, Tua Tagovailoa, Tyreek Hill. They're very confident that they're better than they played. Obviously, Tua's injury, you know, sort of hamstrung the team for the first 4 weeks of the season while he was out with his concussion. Mm-hmm. And the losses that they have to Arizona and to Buffalo were last second kicks in games that they pretty much played very good, very efficient games, and still didn't give their best. So, you know, they beat themselves a lot with fumbles and turnovers, and this is about a team that's trying to become more disciplined and trying to put together their best selves.
Well, let's talk about Tua a little bit. It certainly sparked the offense right away when he came back. They just didn't have the win initially. But how have you seen him step right back into this role leading the offense?
Oh, he's still the same old Tua. Probably a little bit turn up the volume on the leadership. When a team gives you a franchise contract, you really know you're the highest paid employee in the building. You take on that leadership role, and he's certainly done that. He's been more accountable to his teammates. He's been more of a leader rallying the team. During his hiatus from the concussions, he really stepped up and started showing up for coaching hours and helping the team put together game plans. And that's just something that he does, on his own. He didn't have to do that. He just did that because he wanted to help and contribute in any way that he could.
I didn't think he got hit a whole lot last week. It kind of actually maybe the first two games back. It felt like they were able to avoid him taking a whole lot of contact. Different in this game, though. A couple of sacks, a couple of moments where I will admit I held my breath a little bit. And then to see him get out and try to tackle after a change of possession. What kind of restrictions are there on Tua, if any?
He says if you're thinking about it, you're not going to play your best. He's just going out there and he's playing football. Tua's already said, I love this game and I love it to the death of me. I don't think he worries. He goes out there and he worries about concussions. He just knows he has to be more careful about the way that he conducts himself and conducts his body. So he's sliding a little bit more. You saw him the whole time. He was trying to stop the guy with the interception. He was really going to just use his body, not necessarily his head. However, the foot did have some contact with the head. His whole point is, if I got to think about it, then I'm not going to be my best. And so he's out there and he's trying to play the game that he knows, how he knows.
Is anybody else talking about it or thinking about it, Omar?
Oh, absolutely. His teammates say it all the time. Tyreek applauds him anytime he slides and gets down.
Good.
They realize they're a much better team with him than without him. So they encourage him to do things safe.
Omar Kelly of the Miami Herald joining us from L.A. after this game. I did actually ask him about Odell Beckham Jr., and then he reminded me Jalen Ramsey, too, both returning to SoFi Stadium, part of that Super Bowl winner going back a few years ago. But for OBJ, particularly poignant because he tore his ACL right after catching a touchdown pass from Matthew Stafford in the first half of the Super Bowl and has not been the same since. And that was a bit of a resurgence for him. Seven touchdowns. That was his seventh when he joined the Rams. So it was a big part of them getting that championship. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Speaking of Omar and what he said about the AFC, we know the Bills, they can clinch the playoffs. They've actually clinched the division title in week 12. That's the number. Now, they've won five in a row. They're sitting at 8-2. The only team better in the conference is the Chiefs at 9-0. So right now, those two teams they're at the top of the heap. Steelers and Ravens both have 7 wins, and the rest of the AFC North is below 500, as is the rest of the AFC East, as is the rest of the AFC South behind the Texans, who are right now at 6-4. And then you've got a team in the Chargers that are at 6-3 that surprisingly have put themselves right there in the conversation for top wild card. Now, that's where we are right now. It doesn't mean it's going to stay that way. But here's my question, Pete. If the Dolphins still have and I don't know where he's getting his percentages from, but if the Dolphins still have a 60% chance to make the playoffs based on the bottom of the AFC, the Jets are 3-7. The Patriots are 3-7. All those teams, I mean, they play similar schedules, not the same, but all those teams are sitting at 3 wins. So if the Dolphins are still alive, why are the Jets and Patriots not still alive?
Well, they probably have similar percentages, but then those percentages probably tail off quickly. Mm. So one loss or one win from another team probably tails those percentages back.
Well, it does.
A vast amount.
But I would say if you're comparing the roster for the Jets versus the roster for the Dolphins, as much as Aaron Rodgers doesn't look anything like the Hall of Fame quarterback that won, 4 MVP awards, they still do have really quality pieces around him, and their defense can be real good. The Patriots, they're in rebuild mode, so I wouldn't expect them to contend. But, I mean, if 3 wins is all it takes right now to be in contention, I think that kind of includes everybody, except for the Browns, the Titans, the Jags, the Raiders. Those are the teams sitting on 2 wins.
I would put the
technically.
Jets. I would put the Jets there in terms of not being able to compete, because they're a very fractured bunch. I think Mike McDaniel has a message that has been there since the start of the season. Jets don't have the head coach that started the season, and there's a lot of individuality in that locker room. So I would say of the teams, the Dolphins, if you get a healthy Tua making a run, doesn't seem like an option that is not in impossible.
Not off the table.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, considering that the AFC is more top heavy. Now it's thick around the middle, but the teams that are in the middle are teams with losing records now. So it's a good point that Omar makes. All right. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, you can vote for TD of the Week. We may bring back the Micah Parsons because we've got the full statement now that he made about those comments Sunday regarding his head coach and his status. That part didn't really bother me. The part about how Zach Martin and others have worked harder than Mike McCarthy ever did, I didn't love that comment. But Micah did his podcast, and we've got the clip where he talks about Mike McCarthy. Also, crazy. Did you hear the situation, the story with Jack Del Rio? We'll get to that coming up as well. Good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
When it does create questions for others in the locker room, something that I've always done, you know, conversation has to happen. So, you know, Mike and I had
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Conversation this morning about it and, you know, handle those things as men should handle it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Mike McCarthy handled it exactly the way that he should. And he's right. The issue is maybe not so much what Micah Parsons said, just the fact that he said anything at all. Because now you've got the media watchdogs who are asking questions about it, and they've got to deal with that. Micah himself did talk about it on his podcast that he records on Mondays. It's called The Edge with Micah Parsons. And we were alerted to him discussing this Mike McCarthy situation in a clip. So if you haven't heard the Micah, essentially what he said is, it's above my pay grade, Mike McCarthy's coaching status. And that to me is fine. I've said the same thing before. People come to me and ask me about various elements of the network, and I always say it's above my pay grade. I don't make those kind of decisions. I'm just busy trying to take care of my own business. But when he went on to talk about how Zach Martin and some of the other veterans worked harder than Mike McCarthy ever did, that didn't sit well with me. I don't think he was throwing him under the bus necessarily, but it didn't. You can't call it optics, of course, because it's audio, but it just didn't sound like everything is copacetic. And of course, it's not. They're a terrible team. They're 0-4 at home. They keep getting shellacked by teams that come into AT&T. So I understand there are a lot of frustrations. He's been taken to task by other people, including former head coach Rex Ryan.
I never once threw or even intended to throw Mike McCarthy under the bus. Like I said, he's one of the most winningest coach. He is a Super Bowl champ. I never once brung up his past. And the question that was asked was about here in the Dallas Cowboys, did I see Mike McCarthy in our future? And I said, that's above my pay grade. So never once did I ever intended or wanted to reflect on Mike McCarthy's career, because I always knew it was a good one. I've always had a great relationship with Mike McCarthy, and I never even put that in question. And for a guy like Rex Ryan, I just know he wanted to coach the Cowboys. Like, I'm perfectly happy that we have Zimmerman, because if we have a guy that's willing to go on TV and provide this type of nonsense, imagine what he could do to a locker room. Like, that's just honestly just outrageous to me at the end of the day. Like I said, man, when you play football, all coaching aside, and you can look at college, you can look at even the pros, coaches are, you know, their careers are way longer. You know, they can decide to take a better job. They can move on. You kind of see that a lot from DCs, OCs, head coaching positions. Sometimes better job openings just open up. And you truly never know. You never know how the dice is going to roll with coaches. But when you talk about guys you consistently going to war with, man, like guys that I seen Tyron and Zach barely can walk throughout the week, take a tour to all, go out there and play, you know, being half a man basically and giving us our best effort. So when you see those type of things, you see guys pushing through injuries, pushing through just so much difficulty. It is the play in this league. Yes, 100%. Every time I'm going to always choose the brother that we're going to bleed with, we're going to work with.
Micah Parsons responding to the criticism and the outrage, I would say in some cases feigned outrage, over the comments that he made Sunday. Again, I have no issues with the vast majority of it. I do feel like he was stumping for his teammates and how badly he feels that they've poured heart, soul, blood, sweat, tears, injuries. Their bodies are broken in some cases, and yet they still go out there and play. I wonder how they feel about him kind of, I think it's a poorly kept secret in pro sports that a lot of athletes are drugged up or get a shot or whatever else to be able to go out and play. And by drugged up, I don't mean PEDs or failing, you know, any kind of a recreational drug test. I just mean sometimes they get shots or take whatever they need to take to be able to get out there and play without pain. Not easy to do, but you can, you wonder if anyone's going to react to that now. Good for Micah. I don't think he threw McCarthy under the bus by saying it's above my pay grade. I just think, yeah, he's right. He's going to choose his brothers every time, but there was probably no need to say that they work harder than Mike McCarthy ever does. That just it was unnecessary, I suppose, as an addendum. 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio. All right, coming up, we've got the answer to your question about Cooper Rush, as well as the question about Caleb Williams in Chicago. A lot of people asking that question now. But right after the break, Jack Del Rio, his career path just took a drastic turn. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, Amore, sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with Life electronic device and pet health insurance. Well, the Dolphins trying to get themselves back on track and put a damper in the Rams' playoff chances.
In the pistol formation. Tua takes a snap. Pulls it back out. Throws it. Touchdown. It's Tyreek Hill.
Just 207 yards passing, but that touchdown from Tua Tagovailoa to Tyreek Hill. Dolphins erased the Rams 23-15. Call courtesy of the Dolphins Radio Network. Miami defense forced sacks. They forced a pair of turnovers. Just their third win, but Tua still hopeful for the season.
The resilience of this team with the external noise, everyone counting us out. You know, hopefully this is an opportunity for us to not waste. You know, hopefully we can go on a run with this win and find our rhythm. Towards the back end of the season now.
Dolphins 3-6 while snapping LA's three-game win streak. They're now 4-5. Elsewhere, Mike McCarthy deflected from the comments made by Micah Parsons. Did say they spoke privately. Bears made it clear they're sticking with Caleb Williams at quarterback, but that doesn't mean that head coach Matt Eberflus won't be looking for other things that need improvement.
You know, in-game communication, you know, in terms of that, it's got to be better. The adjustments, the tactical adjustments need to be better, you know, with that on all sides. And everything's on the table, and it's important that we look at everything, and we take the time to get that done.
Checking the NBA, the Cavs now 12-0 to begin the season. Handle the Bulls 119-113. Donovan Mitchell, 36 points, 8 rebounds. Thunder outscored the Clippers 134-126. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with 45. Nets took out the Pelicans 107-105. Rockets overwhelmed the Wizards 107-92. And the Spurs dumped the Kings 116-96 as Victor Wembanyama had 34 points and 14 rebounds. College basketball, Alabama withstood McNeese State 72-64. Iowa State erased Kansas City 82-56. Purdue handled Yale 92-84. Marquette took out Central Michigan 70-62. Florida punished Grambling 86-62. Ohio State rolled Youngstown State 81-47. Texas A&M rocked Lamar 97-71. And Rutgers beat St. Peter 75-65. I'm Marco Belletti.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Infinity Sports Network. That's Infinity Sports Network to follow us on Instagram.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us for a few more minutes here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'd like to give you the pep. The peppy music to put a little pep in your step. And I know sports can do that too. They can also do the opposite and make you feel like your wagon is dragging, especially when your team scores zero touchdowns on a Monday Night Football game in your own house. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me and also where you can find our latest poll for TD of the Week. It's on our Facebook page as well. So good to connect with you. 855-212-4227. We like to sprinkle in calls, especially like the one we got earlier from a guy who just started working nights and is now happy to have found the show. General rule of thumb, give us 2 weeks and you'll be hooked. Either you'll love the show and you'll feel like we're your companions for the late night or early mornings, or the opposite, you'll hate us, or me really, and you can't tune away because you have to know what ridiculous thing I said next that fuels your hatred of me. Either way, you'll be hooked. So again, thanks for joining us this morning. I'm not sure if you saw the story about Jack Del Rio, obviously former NFL player and head coach, and not that long ago was a defensive coordinator with the Commanders. And he'd held those roles as well with other teams, including Carolina and Denver. So a guy who has made his career in football. In August, I believe it was, he took a job with Wisconsin football as a senior advisor to Luke Fickell, but has promptly resigned after he was arrested on Friday and cited for operating a vehicle while intoxicated. So there was an incident in Madison, Wisconsin, where he drove his car into a street sign, crashed through a fence, and came to rest in a yard. And at the time that the Madison police arrived, so someone called the police, at the time that they arrived, he was walking away. So he was leaving his car. I don't know if to get help or what. You're not supposed to be leaving the scene of an accident, obviously. But this was about 12:35 in the morning, local time, not that far from campus and the stadium. And so he showed signs of impairment, according to the authorities, and he did admit that he was the guy that was behind the wheel. So he was arrested. He's a first-time offender, according to them, and he was released of his own recognizance. But he did resign on Monday. Luke Fickell briefly addressed it in his press conference, just saying that he's decided to step away, to move on. You know, these are matters that we take very seriously, type of thing. But as I was reading about this on Monday afternoon, just once again blown away at the fact that anyone in the football world, anyone in the sports world, really, in light of recent events over the last several years, how is anyone that's a longtime head coach and has to stand in front of locker rooms full of young guys and advise them on how to stay out of trouble, how to keep themselves on the field as opposed to running themselves off of it? How can any NFL player or coach make this mistake over and over again? I understand that when you are intoxicated, your judgment is not the best, but that's kind of the idea. It blows me away because we see and hear of incidents over and over again, none more serious or heartbreaking than the Henry Ruggs situation just, 3 years ago, where he's driving while he's drunk and he is speeding in his vehicle and slams into the back of a young woman who's sitting, I think stopped at a light or something on a busy Las Vegas Avenue. And not only does her car burst into flames, she dies on the scene, but her dog does as well. How about the situations at Georgia, right? Not that long ago, Jalen Carter certainly understands. He's now in the NFL, but he was part of an incident in which a young woman was allegedly speeding and had made a habit of this, and she and another vehicle allegedly racing. Her blood alcohol level was, if I remember correctly, more than 2 times the legal limit, and that was a fatal crash. Not only did a Georgia Bulldog die, one of Jalen Carter's teammates, but the driver, the young woman who was in the other vehicle, she passed away. And then there's another young woman who's a survivor who's got injuries that will be with her the rest of her life. She may never walk again comfortably. But even more recently, the deaths of Johnny and Matthew Gaudreau at the hands of a drunk driver in rural New Jersey on a dark street where they're biking and they get plowed into by this driver who was under the influence. These incidents continue to happen. They're high-profile incidents. We're not talking about my next-door neighbor that no one knows. Although that's just as bad. I mean, I myself have a personal connection to these types of stories because one of my great friends and a mentor to me in Oklahoma was killed by a drunk driver. I'm sure many of us have very similar stories, tragedies that could have been prevented. And here is Jack Del Rio, a leader of men, an advisor to the head coach at a high-profile school, right? One of the power conferences in college football. He's got a long history in the NFL of all the people in the world that you would think would know better. Again, I understand when people are drunk, they're not using the best judgment, but maybe plan for that ahead of time. And it just makes no sense to me that people continue to put themselves in these situations when they have every reason in the world to not. Thankfully, Jack Del Rio only ran through a fence, hit a street sign, and ended up crashing into a tree and was able to walk away. It could have been his death. It could have been the death of someone else. Thankfully, this is the worst that happened. He got arrested and lost a job. It obviously could have been far worse. And considering these stories that the sports world has had to digest and find a way to move past. I mean, think about the community of Columbus and Gaudreau's family and the mourning there. Lives changed in an instant. Families changed forever in an instant. And so it blows me away that people continue to do it, especially in the sports world, in light of these tragedies that have been so prominent and all too frequent over the last few years. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. weird transition to get to QB news, but I don't want to leave you on that note. I'm glad that Jack Del Rio took accountability, and I hope this is a wake-up call for him. This portion of the show brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with a no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. A lot of people asking about the Chicago Bears and whether or not they should be making a change at quarterback. Forget coach. For now, Matt Eberflus is still the head coach. But is he considering all the options? Yes. He said that everything's on the table, right? So that means you're going to get questions about your rookie QB.
Matt, are you going to make a change at quarterback?
No, Caleb is our starter.
So that's short and sweet, and the Bears will not be making a change at this point with Caleb Williams. But he does say everything else. I guess he needs the word else in that statement, because on Sunday he said everything is on the table. Now he's saying everything else is on the table. And this is three straight losses for the Bears. Remember when every team in the NFC North was above 500? Well, this latest one in which they don't score a touchdown to the New England Patriots, and Caleb is under siege. The 9 sacks that he sustained, getting hit another 13 times, really not able to see that offense develop or any of the play calls develop. And so Eberflus is talking about changes, talking about adjustments, trying to play his cards close to the vest. Of course, Monday is the day that they watch tape and they evaluate everything. But it's been a rough patch. And I know people want to point to the beginning of the season too and say Caleb Williams started slower then. It's always got to be a big picture when you're evaluating a young quarterback, even as one as high profile with so many expectations, who comes in ready-made to be an NFL QB, meaning Caleb Williams, his system, the way he was groomed, his professionalism. But yeah, his lowest passing output of the season against the Patriots, just 93 yards. Oh no, sorry, since the 93 yards against the Titans. I want to make sure I correct that. So he had 120 yards against the Pats, no touchdowns. And you remember the game against the Titans that people kind of pointed to. The offense as a whole is rough. But still, you got to look at the offensive line. It's the same thing with, say, Drake May in New England and the offensive line and how bad it's been. And so they're working with him. I think they probably want to make sure he remains confident. But to not get into the end zone in back-to-back games precipitates these questions that you're going to get. And so, yeah, what about Caleb? And what about potentially the way that this season is wearing on him?
Caleb's strong. He's strong inside. He's strong outside. He's a strong individual. And he's been through adversity, and he knows how to do this. He knows how to get through adversity by pulling together. And, we got to pull together with everybody else, too. So it's important that we get that done moving forward.
It's kind of nuts, though, to think that the last time we saw Caleb Williams throw a touchdown, or the last, I guess it was their last touchdown. He didn't throw it, but he engineered the drive. Remember the Roschon Johnson? And it's, what was it, 25 seconds to go in the game with the Commanders? And then Jaden Daniels throws the Hail Mary. That was their last touchdown, last time they were into the end zone. And that was a pretty sweet drive. I mean, they were flying high until, of course, the Hail Mary and Noah Brown. But just the fact that they've been able to drive the field after really struggling offensively all day. And I think that's kind of the key, is that they have struggled offensively. This is not a team that has really found a whole lot of rhythm. You'll see the flashes here and there, but we are talking about consistently an offense that has struggled for the most part. Right now, they are in the bottom third of the NFL in both rushing yards as well as points. All right, so a lot of times, a strong running back or a strong run game is the best friend of a rookie quarterback or a new quarterback. They are 30th in passing yards. And you think about the struggles that he's had to connect with DJ Moore. So that's been part of the issue as well. So it's way too early to be giving up on a guy who's got the talents that he does. Offensive line, that's something that definitely is a common denominator a lot of times when rookies struggle. And as for the Dallas Cowboys, they don't really have great options. I know a lot of people probably would like to see them give Trey Lance another opportunity. For now, they're going with Cooper Rush. And Mike McCarthy says they do have a lot of confidence in him because of his tenure with the team.
We have a lot of faith in Cooper. I mean, like I've stood up here last week, everybody believes in him. How can you not, based off the way he's performed? But you know that fumble and the recovery attempt, you know, that was, you know, it was off to a rough start. And like I said, I just feel like he never really got into a rhythm.
And so we had Trey Lance come on the field for two plays, and then we had Cooper back on, and then we had Trey finish out the quarter, and they've talked about the reps for him. I mean, it's obviously a relatively low ceiling when you're talking about the other quarterbacks, not the same potential when it comes to Dak Prescott. But Jerry Jones still has hope. And by the way, we'll be on our Dallas affiliate later on this Tuesday, 105.3 The Fan. You know what happens later today? The second set of college football playoff rankings are revealed. So we'll see what happens with, what, two of the top four losing and upsets galore all the time. We're back tonight for the Hump Show. Kick butt this Tuesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.